Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Mark 2, and our focus is going to be on verse 27. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful it is to gather to hear your word, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask that and pray that you send your Holy Spirit to work through this word so that our faith in him begins and ends, and that that faith is energized in love toward all people. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this is week three of a series called Breaking Boundaries, and this series is all about Jesus' interactions with the Pharisees in the Gospel of Mark, and how the Pharisees, they put boundaries, like a lot of boundaries around people, and Jesus was constantly breaking those boundaries. And it's all about God's grace meeting our lines in the sand. And so we've heard about breaking boundaries with the outcasts. Last week it was about breaking boundaries with the rule keepers. This week we're kind of flipping on the other side of that coin, where we are breaking boundaries with the lawbreakers. Before I go on, let me say one more time, I've said a number of you, Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I hope you truly enjoy your day of celebrating your accomplishments, your achievements as a father. Enjoy it, whatever you do. Although if I asked every single father here if you were always happy, I doubt I would get that. In fact, sometimes fathers are not happy, especially when they're dealing with disobedient children. Now, you may be upset or frustrated when your children stray, but never to the heights of one father I'm about to tell you about. His name is Nick Cruz. He was a British commander of the Royal Navy. And in 2012, an email of his sent to his children was published and quickly went viral, because in this email, he pretty much eviscerated his children for how bad they turned out to be. He just was listing just how terrible things were, how they never listened to what they said, never took their advice, and just messed everything up, and now they were messing up grandchildren as well. I want to read you the end of this email. "I can now tell you that I, for one, and I sense Mum feels the same, I've had enough of being forced to live through the never-ending bad dream of our children's underachievement and domestic ineptitudes. I want to hear no more from any of you until, if you feel inclined, you have a success or an achievement or a realistic plan for the support and happiness of your children to tell me about. If you think I have been unfair in what I have said, by all means try to persuade me to change my mind, but you won't do it by simply whining and saying you don't like it. You'll have to come up with meaty reasons to demolish my points and build a case for yourself. If that isn't possible, or you simply can't be bothered, then I rest my case." And this is how he ended it. "I am very, very disappointed. Dad." Wow, happy Father's Day. But do you see? Even though that was like way over the top, do you see where he was coming from? He had set boundaries. He had set expectations for his children. And his children had thoroughly broken those boundaries, much to his disappointment. But what did he do in response? Oh, he laid down the law, right? He laid it down thick, because he knew, if I don't do that, they'll never change. They'll never get back into my good graces. So in our text, the Pharisees, they act like a father that is very, very disappointed in his children. And it goes like this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. Now, why would the Pharisees be so upset about that? I mean, at first glance, it looks like they're not really doing anything wrong here. They're not breaking any law here. In fact, God's law actually allowed for this kind of thing. If someone was hungry and, as long as they weren't, like, taking out entire crops along the edging, if they were hungry and they saw some wheat, they can do that. They could, like, pluck it. And so that's what the disciples were doing. They were hungry. They saw some wheat. They ate it. Okay. But it was when they were doing it that made the Pharisees very, very disappointed. They were doing it on the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath was a time for rest, but for them it was also a time when no work was to be done. So they were breaking God's law here. That's what they were doing. And because they were breaking the Sabbath, to them, that was a capital offense. So that's why they just come to Jesus and they're just like, hey, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? But listen again to what they say. Why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? What is not authorized? What is not permitted by us? Now, you don't have to remember this, but actually what they were talking about is their oral tradition called the Midrash, in which they had codified every single thing about the Jewish life, including 39 ways of working that are not allowed on the Sabbath. And they thought that the disciples were reaping, which is clearly not allowed. And that's why they were so, so upset. Not only were the disciples breaking God's law, but they were also breaking their own laws that they had put in place in order to keep them from breaking the law. Okay, that's great, Pastor. What's going on here? Well, let me tell you what's going on. It's the perennial question of anyone's life. What do you do with the law breakers? What do you do with those who transgress God's law? Well, often we meet them with more law, don't we? I mean, think about this. You've got your rules, you've got your regulations, you got your boundaries, and someone breaks them. What do you do? You shouldn't have done that. You knew this, right? Why did you do that? Kind of reminding them of what they should have been doing. Or, if they break it, how could you? That's it. I'm washing my hands of you. I'm walking away from here. And just leave them in their condemnation. Sound familiar? I think at one point all of us have done that at some point in our lives. And yet the big question is, why? Why do we automatically meet lawbreakers with more law? It's because we assume that we can actually keep the law. Yeah. We assume that, all right, God's given us his law, and he's like, okay, do this, and you will live. And we're like, okay, we can do this. We can remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. We're not going to murder. We're not going to commit adultery. Yeah, sure, you got it. But really, can we actually keep the law? Can we actually keep it perfectly as God requires? Can we not just keep it perfectly, but even want to keep God's law desiring to keep it. Well, let's take the Sabbath commandment here, third commandment, right? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? And we're Lutherans, so we know the explanation in the Small Catechism. We should not despise preaching or his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And look, you're here, right? You're here. You're holding it sacred, you're gladly hearing and learning it, right? Done. I can do it. But do you ever despise preaching or his word? Do you ever look at God's word and it just kind of hits you in the gut and you're just like, you know, I don't like that. I don't like what God's saying right there. I might ignore it. Do you really hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it? Or do you just kind of go to your Bible every now and then, gotta finish my reading plan, you know, and flip through it kind of disinterested? Because, you know, God's word is living and active and powerful and cuts right to the heart of the matter. And boy, does it make you feel uncomfortable, doesn't it? All right, fine. Let's go on to something that I know I can keep. How about the fifth commandment? Thou shalt not murder. Anyone murder here? Okay, I hope not. But then Jesus says, oh yeah, by the way, if you even get angry at anyone, you're liable to the judgment of hell. Well, can we go on to the next one? Thou shalt not commit adultery. All right, we're happily married, happily single. Oh, wait a second. Jesus says that if I even look at someone else with lust in my heart, I've already committed adultery. And on it goes. Every single commandment showing us that we can't keep it. That's the problem with law breakers. It's not that we break the law per se, it's that we cannot keep it. Because the law is given to show us our sin. The law was given to actually increase our trespass. The law reveals the sin in us and just how thoroughly sinful it is. So if we actually say that to meet the lawbreakers with more law, it's like pouring fuel on the fire. It's like taking these heavy chains and throwing them on a drowning man, where everyone, you, me, and God, will be very, very disappointed. But that's not how Jesus sees all this. No, actually, he sees it in a completely different way when he responds to the Pharisees here. He says, hey guys, you remember David, you know, King David? You remember what he did a long time ago? How he ate the bread of the presence that's not lawful or permitted for him to eat except for the priests? Well, he was hungry. He was in need. You see, David and my disciples were hungry. Why should they worry about breaking the law when they are in need of something? And then he goes on to say these incredible words, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was not to be a burden, but a blessing. The Sabbath was not merely to be a law to keep, but true rest. And he says, even the Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath. You see, Pharisees, disciples are not breaking any law because I am with them, because I am working for them, because I am giving them rest. It's just like St. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those who believe. That law we're so concerned about, it always leads us right to Christ. And Jesus, he is the only one that can fulfill the law perfectly. He himself said, I didn't come to abolish it, but to fulfill it, because I am the sinless Son of God, I have fulfilled it for you. And Jesus is the only one that can put an end to the belief that our law keeping counts as anything for righteousness before God. No, he simply declares, no, it's my righteousness that I give to you. That is the only thing that counts before God. You see, Jesus is the only one who is the law giver that becomes the law keeper for all of the law breakers. And when he does this, he gives you and me true rest. He gives us rest by forgiving all those times we break his law and we can't keep it. He says, that's why I went to the cross. That's why I rose from the dead. That's why you've been baptized. That's why I give you my word and my supper, to give you that forgiveness of sin for all the law breaking that you do. He also gives us rest from this fruitless pursuit of thinking, all right, well, I've broken the law, but now I got to keep it in order to be righteous before God. And he's like, no, no, that's not the way it works. I'm your righteousness. In fact, Jesus gives us rest because he is our Sabbath. Apart from law keeping or breaking. So the perennial question, what do you do with the lawbreakers? Those who leave you, or those yourself, everyone is very, very disappointed. Let me tell you another father story. Concerns Pastor Tullian Chivichan. He's a pastor down at in Jupiter, Florida, of a church down there. And he talks about a time early on in his life. He was 21. He was engaged to Kim. But on Mother's Day, just want to be true to the story, on Mother's Day, when he went over to his parents' house, both Tullian and Kim invited his dad out into the driveway. And he said, Dad, I've got some news for you. Kim is pregnant. And then he burst into tears. He was crushed. He was so broken up over what he and Kim had done. Not just to mention breaking the sixth commandment, but also breaking their trust, the boundaries that they had kind of established to let this rebellious teenager back into the fold that had caused so much heartache and so much burden to them. And now he had crushed them as well. He was just sobbing there, both of them. What did his dad do? Did he write a nasty email? Did he say, you shouldn't have done that? Did he say, I'm out of here, and walk off? No, he grabbed them in a bear hug and he held on to them while he said these words, it's okay, I love you, it's okay, this child will be a blessing. You see, in the end, the lawbreakers, those who transgress God's holy law, his perfect design for life, and yet they break it and they are crushed by it and crushed by it and crushed by it. It's grace. Grace is what we all need to receive and to share. When you break God's law, Jesus gives you grace and says, you are forgiven. But when others break God's law, this is not the time for a nasty email. This is not the time for reminding them what they should have been doing or condemning them for what they did. This is not the time for more law, but grace, to tell them that God loves them to tell them that Jesus gives them rest and righteousness. So happy Father's Day, all you fathers out there. But to everyone here, just a little reminder. You have a heavenly Father who wraps his arms around his law-breaking children. And here's what he says to them. It's okay. I love you. I give you my son, Jesus, to give you rest, to give you righteousness. And because of him, I'm never disappointed. Amen.